Lemon Pepper Parlay is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Must be 21 or older. Welcome in to a NBA edition of the Lemon Pepper Parlay Podcast, a play-in edition of the Lemon Pepper Parlay Podcast, because now I don't know what to call this. I was just thinking about this 2 seconds ago, and I said, you know what, Martin, just start talking and something will happen, because we have the regular season, right, and then we have the postseason, but now we are in this weird purgatory of, like, not quite the postseason yet, because, like, we don't know what 8 teams have actually made the playoffs until the play-in has happened. So let's call it NBA, the purgatory season of NBA, this week of randomness, when we'll see when we see single elimination games in the NBA. But first, let me go ahead and introduce my co-host, Mark Gunnels, the kid from Kansas City himself. Mark, how are you doing, and how is it better than some of these teams in the play-in tournament right now?
Well, first of all, since I am the kid from Kansas City, quick shout out to the Kansas City Royals. They're 10-6 right now. I know this is not a baseball podcast, but I've been on your I can say that, right?
Sure.
Lately, about mentioning them, you said they're going to suck. I know it's early, but I just want to give a quick shout out to the boys in blue, man. Off to a good start.
It's going to age like milk.
No, it's not.
It's going to age like milk in the hot sun.
They're making the playoffs.
Welcome to watching baseball, Mark. Like, you're 16 games in to the year and you're already doing victory laps. Just ask any Mets fan just the last few years how the first half of their season has gone. And then, we'll get into that at some other point in time. Also, should note, the WNBA draft today. It'll be interesting to see if we have more than 13 rookies made rosters last year and 17 the year prior. So it'll be interesting to see if how many rookies actually make rosters. One of them probably will be Caitlin Clark, seeing even if she can't play, they're going to put all her games on TV. So might as well put her on the team. But anyway, you want to dive in to the Eastern or the Western Conference playoffs first, because I have opinions on a lot of it.
Let's do the East.
All right. So the Boston Celtics had locked up the number one seed for the longest time. We don't know who they're playing yet. When we did this pregame, we said pre-show, we said that we would talk about the series that are already kind of set in stone and then discuss the play-in, because, silly me, I care who wins in the regular season. Those wins matter to me. Like, I know that, you know, guys like Mark Gunnels, they say, well, maybe they really should have lost. Shame on you, and shame on everybody else who believes in that, because that's why the NBA is the place where it is today. But we'll go ahead and talk about the matchups that we know are already set. The first one that we know is absolutely set is the Bucks and the Pacers, 3 versus 6 seed. This is the game ball gate. Remember the game ball? Where Giannis was ready to fight everybody in Indiana. Larry Bird, get out the way, because I need my game ball. Like, so we have that. What are your initial thoughts? And we'll just kind of run through these initial thoughts on the series. Obviously, they are a week away.
Yeah. So my initial thoughts, and those are the key words here, because nothing I say is going to be set in stone as far as prediction. I'm not even sure I really even have one for you right now. But my initial thoughts on this matchup is, I'm scared for Milwaukee. I'm terrified for Milwaukee right now. You know, Giannis' status is up in the air. We know that calf can be a tricky thing, man. You know, with the Achilles, we saw Kevin Durant try to come back a few years ago in the finals. Looked good for the first few minutes, and then it just gave out. I worry about 5 minutes
that he was cooking in the 5 minutes, boy.
Yeah. He was. And then with Giannis' play style, too. You know, with KD, it was kind of more of, you could maybe see him playing through it because he's more of a jump shooter. He's not attacking as much. Giannis has the ball in his hands. He's not only looking to score for himself, but for others. He plays at a very frantic, high-paced, physical brand of basketball. So that definitely concerns me. I do think he will try to give it a go, obviously, but I'm just not sure how effective he's going to be and how long he's going to be able to actually play. So when I consider all those factors, even if he was 100% healthy, this team was still struggling with them, right? They were limping into the playoffs, losing games to bottom-of-the-barrel teams like the Washington Wizards, for crying out loud. And since Doc Rivers has been there, I don't know if they really are buying the message. It seems like they're not really playing for the guy. So maybe there's a flip they can switch. That's always on the table for a team like this. Flip maybe they can
switch.
But yeah, I know I just totally botched that.
It's all good.
Yeah, but this Pacers team, they're 4-1 against the Bucks this year. You may think, why did they play 5 times? Well, they played in the
in-season tournament.
In-season tournament. Yeah. I was looking at, because we did it on the graphic today on the show and on the speed. I'm like, why is it 1-4? They played in this in-season tournament. That's why they played 5 times. So they've had their number this year, obviously. I'm not going to put too much stock into that because we've seen plenty of times in the regular season where one team goes 4-0 against somebody in the regular season.
And I think, and honestly, I think at least 3 of those games, maybe 4, were under the Adrian Griffin Milwaukee Bucks matters. You know, maybe that's maybe that's even worse for Milwaukee. But the point remains, Milwaukee did go under a seismic shift in the middle of the season.
Yeah. So, I mean, initial thoughts, man, this is definitely going 6, probably a 7-game series. If it goes 6, I like Indiana because game 6 would be in Indiana. If it goes 7, it's a complete toss up. I'm torn on this matchup. I really am. I'm not going to lie to you.
The injury that concerns me more than Giannis's injury is obviously humongous because of the potential of what it could be, right? Like a calf strain in and of itself, this is not the worst thing in the world. You know, if Milwaukee goes up 2-0, you're feeling good about Milwaukee's chances with Giannis coming back after that, right? He'll have a week and a half to get right, but it was just a few short years ago when Kevin Durant's thing snapped like a twig and we all saw it against the Raptors, and then Toronto won a title and was never heard from again, you know, basically after that. But if Tyrese Halliburton is not able to take this week, get his hamstring together and play like the 2020 guy he was for the first half of the season, like 20 points, 20 assists, like that was almost a given for Tyrese Halliburton. Like he was doing crazy type double, double, triple, double numbers. If he's not that guy, the Pacers to me are in trouble. I know that Milwaukee is, you know, still kind of finding their way under Doc Rivers. Dame Lillard looked absolutely tragic in the last game they played against the Orlando Magic. I think he was only 2-for-14 with 2 assists. Like that's just a non-starter, but we've seen Dame perform in the playoffs before. And I'm kind of leaning on that and, you know, it is what it is, I guess. You know, Giannis, I think we'll see him is at some point potentially. I mean, we'll definitely see him in this series. I think we'll see him like around game 3 or so. If Bucks can go 1-1 in that, then I still feel good about Milwaukee in 6. But to me, the injury here really is Tyrese Halliburton because he is the engine that makes the Pacers go. And if he is not at 100%, or close to playing where he was before his injury, I think the Pacers are dead men walking.
I'm actually surprised you went on this side. I thought you'd be more on the Indiana side because we've obviously discussed Milwaukee ad nauseum on this episode, on this show for the past month or so. But I think you like the matchup. I guess that's kind of where you're leaning towards. I don't think you really have much confidence in Milwaukee. You just like this matchup, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a good matchup for Milwaukee. And I think you have like the Pacers are, they're a good story. You know, I think that's where they're a good story. But I don't know about the rest of it. Let's go to the 4-5 matchup, the Cavs and the Magic. And I'll just say this to start us off, and I'll give it to you after. There's not a team in the NBA first round playoffs that I am rooting harder for than the Orlando Magic. There's not a I want the Magic to beat the Cavs 4-0 in 40-point blowouts in every single matchup.
Well, why? Can you elaborate? Yeah, why?
I have a feeling that you already know why. But these yellow-bellied cowards in Cleveland decided that they were going to sit all the starters, and then not only sit the starters with a 6-point lead and the 2-seed in hand. The 2-seed was right there for them. They could have got the 2-seed and had home court advantage damn near throughout the entire playoffs until they had to reach Boston, right? The 2-seed was right there. You know what they did? They played Imani Bates, Eastern Michigan fucking legend. All right. They played Imani Bates and Pete Nance. I got no beef with Pete Nance. I like his brother, Larry Nance Jr. I've interviewed him a few times. But the idea that the Cavaliers just laid down like that because they were scared of either the Heat or the 76ers coming out of the play-in tournament? No, the Cavaliers deserve to get their annihilated, obliterated, destroyed, embarrassed in this first round of the playoffs. And I'm sorry to hear it because, you know what, I don't have no beef with JV Bickerstaff, but he's going to get fired at the end of this. But if they're going to play like this, these scaredy cat, just the Mark Gunnell seating of the NBA, they deserve everything that's coming to them.
Well, all that sounds nice and dandy, but Cleveland is not losing this series. I think they win this series in 5 or 6 games. These two teams split this year 2-2. But if you go back to last year, the Cavs have won 6 of their last 8 games against the Orlando Magic. And I just think with Orlando, it comes back to the lack of experience. This is the first time in the playoffs since what? Dwight Howard era? It's been a while. Right.
I mean, they may have been an 8 seed here or there. But yeah. Like, this is the first time being a team that was contending for. I mean, the Magic were contending for, you know, 3, 4, 5. You know, they were up there and ended up in the 5th spot. But it's not because of what they did. It's because of yellow belly cowards like the Cleveland Cavaliers selling games. Anyway.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't agree with the way the Cavs did it, because now when you're at 4 or 5, assuming you do advance like I expect them to. Now you're playing Boston in the second round, when if you were a 2 or 3 seed, you could have avoided Boston into the conference finals. So, I mean, yeah, I guess this ensures you get to the second round at least. But I'm not even going to say that, because I don't want to completely disrespect Orlando here. They've been playing really good basketball this year. I love Banchero, the former Duke legend, who was only there 1 year, right? Say that tongue-in-cheek, obviously. But I do like the pieces there.
It's cool to see a number one pick out of Duke carry a team, isn't it? It's kind of dope. Anyway, carry on.
Well, what if he doesn't win a playoff game, Martin? He gets swept, and then what are you going to say?
At least he made the playoffs in the first 3 years of his career.
But, I like Jonathan Isaac. I like how he's been getting involved. He's been kind of like a 5-tool guy, if you would, to use a baseball reference. He gets a little bit of everything. He can block shots. He gets involved in the glass, makes a couple threes here and there. I like his versatility as well. So they do have some nice young pieces there, obviously Suggs. So I just think they're probably a year or two away from actually making real noise in the playoffs. A Cavs team that went to war last year against the Knicks in that very grueling series, if you would. If you remember that one, it was going back and forth. So I do think they will get past this round. But shout out to Orlando, though. Good job on getting back into the playoffs and being a top 5 seed. Very good accomplishment.
And plus, they got the Wagner brothers, Mo Wagner and Franz, Michigan boys. Orlando is my – I might buy a doggone Mo Wagner jersey if the Orlando Magic beat the Cavaliers. I will be parading through the streets of Los Angeles by myself, one-man parade, because Cleveland deserves everything that they got coming to them after the sell job they did at the end of the regular season. It's one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen in the NBA, and I can't stand it.
Hey, what a difference 15 years makes. The last time these two teams faced in the playoffs, it was LeBron versus Dwight Howard in the Eastern Conference Finals, when Dwight Howard ruined the LeBron versus Kobe Finals everybody wanted to see. So maybe the Magic can ruin something else for Cleveland here.
Listen, Dwight Howard ruined. I'm sorry, his team won. God forbid.
Well, I'm just saying. Everybody remember the puppet commercials? Everybody wanted to see Kobe, LeBron. That was the thing.
Yeah, maybe LeBron should have got there.
Well, I mean, the guy
maybe averaged, LeBron should have just beaten Dwight Howard.
Well, the guy averaged like 38 with a triple-double in that series. I'm not sure what Morris he could have done, but that's another
anyway,
topic.
No more talk about LeBron. That's in the second segment for the play-in teams. Let's talk about the teams that actually made the tournament.
Hold on. Can I push back real quick? I don't like how you're doing that, because the Lakers didn't need the play-in. They're the 8th seed. If it was the regular format, they would still be a playoff team. This is for 9 and 10 seeds. So get it right, Martin.
The thing about the old days is them's the old days, to quote Slim Charles from The Wire. It don't matter. Right now, if you want to survive, you stay above 6. If you want to guarantee yourself 4 playoff games, You go 1 through 6. That's the way to do it. Now, I don't give a damn what they are. If they 7 seed, 8 seed, 9 seed, 10 seed, you got to win to get in. Everybody else, the rest of these 12 teams, they're sitting up with their feet up, watching the games on TV like you and me, relaxing and chilling.
I'm just saying, they didn't need the plan if it was under the previous format. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, it ain't under the previous format, and they do. So that's all I'm saying. So there you go. Let's slide over to the Western Conference, where the Timberwolves just let me down. They let me down so bad yesterday against the Phoenix Suns. But Anthony Edwards does not play well against them, and I think it might be a harbinger of things to come. As much as I've been singing the praises of the Timberwolves, this is probably the worst matchup that they could have asked for. Because, again, like I said, Anthony Edwards, when you look at him and the way that he plays, likes to get downhill, likes to shoot jump shots, and Phoenix is just, long across the board. They have a ton of guys with long wingspans. And if you look at Anthony Edwards' numbers against Phoenix in the regular season, they're not great. They're lower than his career averages against our season averages against everybody else. And two, you got two killers on Phoenix and Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal is a great third option. Like in the playoffs, to me, the more bucket getters that you have, the better off you're going to be. Phoenix has two of the best that have really ever done it. And Karl Anthony Towns coming back into the lineup, it's going to be interesting to see, like, who does he guard? Because if he guards Kevin Durant, that's going to be, I should say this, take the over on KD.
Yeah, talk about a nightmare matchup. The Suns have won 10 of their last 11 games against the Timberwolves. Swept them this year and went 3-0. It's a tough one. I think obviously with Cat being out, even though they did keep their head above water, obviously, still probably a couple games here or there, you probably would have won with him and you would have been a 1 seed, considering you only missed it by 1 game. It was that close to the very end between them, OKC and Denver. And now you see yourself as a 3 seed going against the Phoenix Suns, who you just got wiped off the floor against in a must-win game at home. I definitely love the Suns in this series. I think it goes 6 games. You see them close it out in Phoenix to avoid a game 7 back in Minnesota. But I don't think this is a foregone conclusion. I see a lot of people are just picking the Suns in a heartbeat. Despite the recent success that the Suns have had against the Timberwolves, I still believe there is a pathway where the Timberwolves can win this series. And it resides, to me, on the health and the effectiveness of Karl Anthony Towns. And yes. I know you mentioned Anthony Edwards. He doesn't play that well against the Suns. I get all of that. But I still believe that he's a playoff riser. So I do think he will find a way to be effective in this series. But I'm more concerned about Karl Anthony Towns. And you're mentioning him on the defense side of the ball. I think that's a great point to mention, because does he become unplayable? But it's hard to say that because he's your second best player. So you're going to need him out there. But he may get
abused. I say he's for sure the second best offensive option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to obviously play him, but how much does that hurt you on the defensive side of the ball when he's getting pulled out of the paint, having to guard like 6'11" guard in Kevin Durant? Or, I just don't know who he's going to guard, because the Suns can go with that small ball lineup, obviously, with KD at the 4. So it's going to be very interesting to see how the Minnesota does that. Do you see a little bit of a zone there and try to mix things up? Or, it's going to be very interesting to see how the Timberwolves play that one on the defense side of the ball there.
Yeah, I think ultimately the answer is going to have to be Karl Anthony Towns is going to have to score a ton on Kevin Durant, make KD play defense. So maybe on the backside, you end up dealing with a little more Bradley Beal and Devin Booker than you do with KD on the offensive side of the ball, right? And it's also a great opportunity to bust out the Anthony Edwards video, I guess. I would call it a Vine, but Vine died 15 years ago, where he goes, they got KD, but we got Jaden McDaniels. It's not quite a meme because it's a video. I don't know. I'll be 35 this year. I don't know. I can't keep up with you kids. But I am, of course, rooting for my adopted hometown team, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Never even been to Minnesota, but I just love the way Anthony Edwards plays, and I think the NBA needs more players who play like him. So I hope that he does rise to the occasion in the playoffs, because I think, but I do think this is probably, I'd say this is probably worst case scenario for Minnesota, the way that this broke down in the last game of the season, especially considering it's interesting. Yeah, the Pelicans play the Lakers last game of the season. They'll play in the play-in. Timberwolves play the Suns last game of the season. They'll play in the tournament. That's kind of weird. You know, it's like, I don't know. Maybe the schedule makers were on to something here. But it would be pretty doggone bad if Minnesota's season, well, really, it would be bad for both teams. If Minnesota ended this 56-win season with a bounce in the first round, then that would be, you know, that'd be one of those looking around like, hey, do we have this here? Like, what more do we need? Because we might need to switch some stuff up. And then you realize you can't really switch anything up because you traded the earth, the moon, and the stars for Rudy Gobert just a few years ago, and you're still rebuilding assets from that. And also on the Sun side, if you bounce in the, like, it was monumental for them to avoid the play-in in general. But if you bounce in the first round with this team that somehow found $70 million to pay Grayson Allen, I don't know where that money's coming from when you consider the contracts of Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, and Kevin Durant. Like, I don't, Matt Ishbia is just, you know, I guess he's raising those mortgage loans or something because he's able to pay this tax. But this is a very, very expensive team to be a first round bump.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Definitely, I think more pressure on Phoenix when you consider all those factors. And those guys are older, you know, like KD and Bradley Beal, you know, those guys have a lot of wear and tear on their bodies. So,
both in their 30s.
Yeah, and then, you know, Devin Booker, who's been to NBA Finals before, you know, so they have a lot of experience on that roster. So to go out in the first round would be definitely a major, major failure for Phoenix.
Now, the Clippers and the Mavericks, the 4-5 matchup, I'm taking Dallas here. I think Dallas, I don't know how. Like, the Clippers are a team, especially with Paul George and Kawhi, and who knows if Kawhi is going to play. I've heard a few rumblings that would lead me to believe that he will not be playing. And if you just look at the way history goes, when he went from left knee soreness to left knee swelling, and then all of a sudden he was day-to-day with a freaking ACL, right? I wonder about his meniscus in this time around this time of the year, especially a year he's been so durable throughout the regular season, played a ton of games in the regular. He qualified for, like, people were talking about, like, who's going to be impacted the most by the 65-game minimum. Kawhi Leonard was the poster child, right? Him and Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid obviously ended up getting hurt, but Kawhi played. He qualifies for all the regular season awards. He qualifies for all of them. He was out there. And it sucks to see now that he may be sidelined in this. If he does not play, I give them zero shot to beat Dallas. And if he does play, I think they have a puncher's chance, but I would just say that because I don't know how you guard both Kyrie and Luka Doncic at the same time, knowing that these are two of the best playoff performers that we've seen in quite some time.
Yeah, I like Dallas as well. Whether Kawhi plays or not, I just think Dallas, they won 17 of their last 20 games. As I mentioned last week on this show, it doesn't look like it's a my turn, your turn thing with Kyrie and Luka anymore. It looks more natural and in the flow of the offense. And the main thing is, since the All-Star break, they are in the tops of the league in defensive rating. They're actually playing some defense down there in Dallas, Martin.
Well, also, too, you said since the All-Star break, but I think you could really probably point it to the trade deadline. Yeah. When they got Gafford and when they got PJ Washington, all of a sudden it seemed to, like, everything else kind of fit into place. And, you know, you got Dante Exum hitting game-winning threes and it towards the end of the season. Like, he's on a roll. It's like the pieces around the guys who can go off for literally 50 at any moment in time, they fit together much better.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing I found interesting, did you look at this, Martin? The Dallas Mavericks have the third best odds to win the NBA championship behind Boston and Denver. That was eyebrow-raising to me. When I saw that, they're at plus 1,200.
So run down the top five.
So you got Boston at the favorite at plus 165. Denver second at plus 265. Then you got Dallas at plus 1,200. The Clippers are fourth, which is interesting because they're playing Dallas. So one of the top four teams with the best odds are going to lose in the first round. And then at the fifth best odds is actually OKC at plus 1,500. But I do caution, though, I think a lot of these odds are going to change once the play-in teams are settled. I think the Lakers are going to move the needle a lot considering whoever they play in the first round. Like, let's say Lakers play OKC in the first round. I don't think OKC odds are going to be the fifth best odds anymore at plus 1,600. So, but Dallas at third was very, very surprising to me.
Yeah, I mean, they have been hot. And again, two proven playoff performers. And if you were to pick a team to knock off the Nuggets in the West, I think Dallas kind of lines up nicely, because who do the Nuggets have, again, to guard those guys? Now, obviously, the question that any Nuggets fan would say, or anybody who's been watching NBA basketball the last 4 years, be like, who do the Mavericks have to guard Nikola Jokic? The answer is nobody. Because nobody has anybody to guard Nikola Jokic. But I understand, like, you know, again, you got those two guys, and their ability to get to the rim and shoot from distance is some of the things that in Luka's ability to be, I think Luka's ability to be like the heliocentric, whatever they want to phrase, like the hub of the offense. And then Kyrie's ability to both be a great secondary option while having the ability to go off like a freaking flamethrower, that is a lot of firepower to try to deal with.
It is. It is. And I like them a lot. I do. And I like the position they're in, because in that five seed, assuming they advance, you will most likely play OKC in the second round, assuming they get past their 1-8 matchup. I like Dallas in that matchup. So I think to take them to win the West is pretty good value. I mean, considering I think they're going to at least go to the conference finals.
Yeah, and 12-1, you know, when especially when you have two very prohibitive favorites in either conference with the Celtics and the Nuggets, 12-1, this ain't the worst place to park your money.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break here and dive into the play-in tournament.
Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesar's Palace. All of this can be yours when you bet with Caesar's Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns reward credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using code OMAHAFULL and then place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great, you keep those winnings. But if you lose, you get the stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and up only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New users and first $10 wager only. Must register with the eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Bet maximum bonus bet $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to the account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. No one is stopped before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, and Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369.
But wait, Martin, the play-in tournament, the Lakers are in the 8th seed, so it shouldn't even matter, right?
No, Mark, it does. It matters absolutely. The Lakers and the Pelicans are playing in the play-in tournament. How's it breaking down? Let's see. It's the Lakers and the Pelicans and the Warriors and the Kings on the west side, right? And yep. Then on the east, it is the Heat and the 76ers, and then the annual play-in game of the Chicago Bulls and the Atlanta Hawks, a tradition as old as time. Which side do you want to jump into first?
Let's start in the West this time.
All right, starting in the West. Which matchup? Go ahead. Take the floor, Mark, on those.
Let's go in the order of the time they're going to be played. So let's go Lakers-Pelicans to start things off in New Orleans. Good advantage for the Lakers, actually. You get to stay down there since you played them yesterday. So you don't have to come back to L.A. and travel somewhere else. So they
pounded them yesterday into oblivion.
Yeah. So they're staying down in New Orleans right now. The Pelicans are actually one-point favorites. Over-unders at 224 even. Give me the Lakers. Give me the Lakers. I know the whole it's tough to beat a team twice in 48 hours and all of that stuff you're going to hear. And by no means do I think it's going to be anything like the game we saw Sunday. This will be a lot more competitive. I think the Pelicans have a lot more pride than that. I think they're a lot better than that. I don't see Zion having less than 10 points again in back-to-back games. So I do think you see a better performance overall from New Orleans. But I don't think it'll be enough to win this game, because when LeBron sets the tone early, and you can kind of tell when he's really locked in based on how he's active on defense and on the glass. And he was very active defensively yesterday. He was engaged. And I think they understand they're not going with this nerd theory. And Martin, I'm not on that side, actually. You may be surprised. I'm not on the side of lose this game so you can play OKC and avoid Denver in the first round. No, Martin, I'm not there on this one. Give me Denver in the first round. Because if you win this game, you get 4 days off for rest before game one. And in the first round versus in the conference finals, you get 2 days off in between games. In the conference finals, you only get 1 day off between games because only two series going on. So they have to have a game every day for TV. But in the first round, there's so many matchups, they can spread it out a little bit more. So I think that benefits the Lakers as well. You should be the freshest you're going to be versus having two series before that, and you're worn down. So you got to play Denver anyway. I don't think Denver is going anywhere. They're going to the conference finals if you don't play them. So you're going to have to see them at some point. So I think seeing them now is the best way to go about it. I think the Lakers understand that, and LeBron wants those days off, so they get the job done in New Orleans.
I think they do too. You know, Zion Williamson in the, I don't want to say the two games that mattered against the Lakers, but in the in-season tournament and the, you know, basically the game that they had won, they wouldn't even have to be in this tournament again. This is the play-in tournament. Ironic is that the Lakers and the Pelicans are going to see each other in both the in-season and the play-in tournaments, things that were created not too long ago. But he had less than 15 points in both of those matchups. Like, you know, ultimately it depends. Are we going to see the who should be the best player on the team step up and dominate as he has dominated in other games, or is he going to shrink like he has in the two that really, I keep saying mattered. I'm trying to think of the two that had higher stakes. I should say that because obviously the other two mattered as well. And if you lose both of those, then you're probably playing the Sacramento Kings or the Warriors or whoever. Right. But you know, when the rubber met the road in Vegas, Pelicans were embarrassed. Last night, Pelicans got smoked, you know, in a game that, I mean, I guess they tried to make it close down the stretch, but that game was essentially over at the half. Don't love the matchup for New Orleans. And, yeah, I just think we're going to end up seeing another. Like, yeah, the Lakers are 4-1 this year against the Pelicans. It's just a disastrous way to end the season, and that's what happens when your best scorer goes down in the last 10 games of the year. Brandon Ingram, who is the best player on the team.
So what are your thoughts on the conversation of should the Lakers lose on purpose to face OKC and avoid Denver in the first round?
What do you think my thoughts are? What do you think my thoughts are?
I think you're saying win the game.
Yeah. Go win the game. Have some pride. Have some, I mean, what are we talking about? So the Lakers can win a series before a series? Like, this is the Los Angeles Lakers and LeBron James and Anthony Davis. They're supposed to be contending for titles, and they're down here in the play-in because they had a terrible start to the year, the start of the calendar year. Started, like, from January to, like, Valentine's Day.
Like after, after the in-season tournament, for really. That was
right. After the in-season tournament. So, like, from like the middle of this, from Christmas shopping to Valentine's Day, they just were sleepwalking through the league and then turned it on towards the end. It wasn't quite enough to get out of the play-in tournament. But the Lakers are teams that's supposed to be competing for championships. And I agree with you in the whole, it's easier for it will be easier if they are going to do it. To beat Denver in the first round because of the time off. I think the Lakers in any one game are scarier than they are across a span of games, right? And if you can stretch out those games as long as possible, like LeBron said, he's got, it's like driving a car and never changing the tires for 21 years when he's talking about his feet, right? If you can get his feet some rest, then I think that, you know, that bodes well for Los Angeles' chances, which ultimately I do not think highly of them, right? I think whoever they see in the first round has a should be, I'll say they won't be the betting favorite to beat them, but I think they should be the betting favorite to beat them, right? I think Oklahoma City or Denver, well, Denver will be the betting favorite. Oklahoma City may not be, but I think either one of those first two teams are better than Los Angeles as a whole. But you give Anthony Davis and LeBron rest, extended rest between games, I think they can turn it on for at least three games of that series. And I don't think they'll get, like, I don't think they'll get swept, right? But I do think ultimately this is a first round bounce.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's tough. I think the Nuggets are the only, like I've been saying, the Nuggets are the only team in the West I would probably pick the Lakers to lose against in a series, but I was saying that under the impression that they would play them in the second or third round. I never thought this would be a first round matchup with the extended rest. So we'll get through the Pelicans game and then reassess my thoughts there. But I do think they have a puncher's chance to beat Denver if that is the matchup in the first round.
So going on to the next play-in game in the West, the Golden State Warriors and Sacramento Kings. It was fun, Sacramento. See you later. It was fun. It was, you know, the beam did not quite light as many times as it did last year. Without Malik Monk, I am not giving Sacramento much of a chance at all.
That's it right there. The Malik Monk factor. If they had him, I would be tempted to even pick the Kings to win this game, actually.
I'm glad you've adopted. He's not just a foul merchant, huh?
I mean, both two things can be true, but
he's a bucket.
The fact that is, yeah, he is. The fact that is in Sacramento, I still give them a little bit of a chance. I'm not going to say zero, right? Because, you know, they do play fast, up tempo. Fox can have one of those games, but I think this is going to kind of resemble that game seven of last year. I think you're going to have a Steph Curry masterclass, and I haven't looked at the numbers yet, but I would probably take his over on points. I don't even care what it is.
Do you think that Draymond makes it through this entire game? Now, you know he don't like foreign players. Anytime he's got like a foreign matchup, the elbows are flying a little bit faster. You know what I'm saying? The knees are getting a little bit higher. Ever since he and LeBron kind of made up and clutched up together in clutch sports, he's been taking it out on the Eastern Europeans that have come into the NBA. And Domantas Sabonis, while probably born in the United States due to where his dad was playing from, he plays like, you know, he kind of still qualifies in the Nurkic category.
I'm gonna
he stepped on his ribs last year.
He did. I'm going to say yes for a couple of reasons. First reason is, so single game elimination. So you have to understand the importance of this game. We saw a couple weeks ago when he got ejected in Orlando, Steph was crying. So I think out of respect for Steph Curry, he's going to be on his best behavior. And the second reason is the refs are going to give him so much leeway. He can yell at the refs all he wants and spit on them, and they'll still want to eject the guy. Like, he gets away with, he has to basically punch somebody to get ejected. So I don't think he's going to punch anybody in this game.
Well, he might.
I'm going to say he won't this time.
Stranger things have happened than Draymond punching somebody in an NBA game. I'll tell you that much.
But yes, he will survive this game.
To me, that's the big story here. I'm not giving the Kings much of a shot. They just never really got started this year. But I could see Draymond doing something that would impact him for the first round of the playoffs going forward. Or they'll have to win two games, right? For the next play-in game.
So that would be rich. Our predictions, they would have to play the Pelicans for the 8th seed.
I tell you, if the New Orleans Pelicans don't make the playoffs,
they put themselves in a bad position because you got to play the Lakers and then probably the Warriors. It's not easy.
You won't hear the end of let the Magic advance. I'll be like, wow, number one pick from Duke winning a playoff series. Who would have thought it could happen? Who would have thought? I thought it was impossible. You know, what did I know? Fat Boy Slim can't do it.
Oh, man, let's go to the East, man.
All right. This is one, the Miami Heat and the 76ers. I'm slightly scared to pick against Miami, but when I realize why I'm scared to pick against Miami, it's because I remember Miami from last year. Miami from this year gave me nothing to make me think that this is a team that deserves to be in the top eight of the Eastern Conference.
But they're going to be. And not because they're going to win this game, but they'll have two chances because they're in that 7-8. I don't see them losing to whoever wins that Hawks-Bulls game, which we're going to get to next. But I will remind you, don't forget the Heat lost their first play-in game last year to Atlanta. I don't know if you remember that game.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, and they had to beat Chicago to win the second game, which could happen again, actually. So, yeah, I think they lose this game. I think Philly at home with Embiid back getting his feet wet. I don't think they're going to play around with this. They're the better team. They should win this game. And you win this game, you get a chance to play the Knicks. And I think that's a big difference between playing the Knicks or the Celtics in the first round. So I think there's a lot of incentive here to play the Knicks without Julius Randle. And, you know, they're obviously still playing good. I know Brunson's been looking like a freaking Allen Iverson, you know, right? But I do think you would prefer to play them versus Boston in the first round. So give me the Sixers in this game. They handle business at home.
Taking the Sixers, too, especially the way that they kind of refed Embiid down the stretch or just really avoided him from injury. They still blew out the team that I forget who they played last game, but they smoked them. It was like, it was Charlotte, I think. Anyway, and one of those teams that's been in Cancun for like 2 or 3 months now at this point is now 76ers, you know, pounded them. And I think as long as Embiid's knee.
It was the Nets, by the way, the Nets.
All right. Yeah. Again, one of those teams that's been in Cancun for the last 3 months. Yeah. But as long as Embiid's knee is at a place where he can go, I like the 76ers in this matchup a ton. And then Miami will again the margin for Miami's success in the last 2 years has been so very thin that, you know, it's just wild to think that they're going to be in this is the team that won the Eastern Conference primarily. And on paper should have gotten better probably, like with adding Jaime Jaquez and some of the other players that they added, they should have gotten better, but Tyler Hero in and out of the lineup all year. Jimmy Butler is maybe starting to show some of his age when it comes to this. So yeah, I'm thinking the 76ers here. And honestly, I'm not bullish enough to pick them over the winner of the next Eastern Conference play-in game between the Hawks and the Bulls, just because at a certain point in time, if you keep playing with fire, you got to get burned. Like at a certain point in time, you keep walking around with your phone and no case, eventually you're going to drop it and you're going to pick it up and it's going to be shattered to pieces on the front screen. It's going to happen regardless. They don't protect themselves, and they had every opportunity in the last 5 games of the season to avoid this very place the Miami Heat did. And every time they were like, nope, we're going to lose. We like it the hard way. Well, sometimes the easy way is better. They should have just won some of those last regular season games and gotten up to the six or spot so they didn't have to deal with all this mess.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and it sounds great in theory, Martin, but the winner of this next game, Hawks-Bulls, is the right to lose to Miami Heat in Miami. There's just no way. And I would bet a crazy amount of money that the Miami Heat are beating either one of these teams. And while we're here, I mean, this is the least interesting plan matchup. I don't have much for you on this, but I'm not going to lie to you, Martin. The fact that Trae Young is back excites me a little bit. I will say that. It makes the matchup a little more spicier. You got Ice Trae in the matchup. And you know what? I'm going to pick Atlanta to win this game. You know, the Bulls are actually 3-point favorites in Chicago. Over-under's at 220.5. But I think with, you know, Trae Young, Murray, I know they haven't played with each other a lot recently since Trae Young's been out and Murray's kind of had to carry the load. But I think in a way that's going to actually benefit them in this game because Trae Young just came back. You can't expect him to be the Trae Young that we're used to seeing. So maybe a little rust still plays a factor there. But I think Murray and what he's been doing to even just keep them in this position, even though, you know, it's not that glamorous, says a little something there. So give me Atlanta. I don't feel anything about Chicago. I really don't.
I just want to know if DeAr DeRozan is going to skip school and scream again. Like, I think that maybe that's Chicago's best chance. But ultimately, if one of these teams do advance into the playoffs, this is going to be the game four win that just pisses you off, right? They're gonna split games one and two and then win game four just to make it a 6-game series instead of a 5-game series. Or maybe they win game three, like they go down 2-0, win game three, and just so it's a 5-game series instead of a 4-game series. Like, you could have just ended, like, what are we, like, well, this is gonna be the series that makes you say, wow, the first round really should be 5 games long. And we don't need 7 games in the first round.
And that's exactly why we need this scenario to play out, because we need the Eastern Conference to get a little bit more juicier. So if Philly wins, you get Philly versus the Knicks. That's a pretty fun matchup. And then you get Miami versus Boston, 1-8. It's pretty good for a 1-8 matchup. So we need that scenario to play out, because the East right now is looking definitely inferior to the Western Conference potential matchups.
Oh, I got one thing to say about the Eastern Conference.
What's that?
Orlando. Orlando. Orlando.
Hey, Magic. You ready to watch those NBA TV Game 3 matchups? Because that's definitely an NBA TV series. Like, hey, you know how, like, they have the first game on Saturday, like at like 10 a.m. for us on the West Coast?
Yep.
That's 100% going to be Cavs Magic.
Cavs Magic, TNT will not see Cavs Magic.
And then game two is going to be Tuesday on NBA TV or Monday.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. But let's go ahead, take a break, and make our lemon pepper parlays. You know, I figured, as such a big fan as Zion Williamson, Mark, you would have picked the Pelicans to lock up the 7 seed, but I see here on our show notes that you may be disagreeing there.
Well, I'm a little bit bigger of a LeBron and Laker fan, so it kind of overrides the Zion love there.
I see.
I'm calling this the old man money line parlay. Because I got the Lakers and Warriors money line parlay, both winning their play-in games. Experience, man. It matters this time of year. Got both these teams on the money line. Get it at plus 218. You've already agreed, so I know you like this parlay, even though yours is different, but you side with me on both these two teams winning these games in the play-in. So there you go. The old man money line parlay.
I do like that parlay, but I couldn't give it out because my dad is a big Pelicans fan at this point, and he down the stretch, he was just texting me every night like, I can't believe the Pels are blowing this in the way that they're blowing this. What's wrong with Zion? My dad hates Troy Murphy. He's like, Murphy can't play defense, he's a decent shooter, but that's it. He's like, this guy is not, you know, he can't stand. Trae Murphy was what I meant. Trae Murphy. He can't stand Trae Murphy.
Yeah.
Troy Murphy is a former power forward for the Warriors many, many years ago. But yeah. I'll go ahead and take the Warriors against the Sacramento Kings in my lemon pepper parlay. Again, Sacramento, thanks for coming. See you later. Good luck next year. And hopefully Keegan Murray does take that step forward that you think he was going to take this year. Because, I mean, that team is not, it's not bad, but it's definitely, they need some help there. And Sabonis, maybe Sabonis have another double-double. You know, he had like a billion double-doubles this year, like over like 65, 68, something crazy. Like that. Yeah, that's pretty impressive. But the biggest thing I'll be looking out for is to see how Draymond Green finds a way to get himself suspended for the next game, or at least fined heavily, because he's going to kick Sabonis in the nuts or something along those lines. Yeah, he does not like, and then they got Alex Len. No, not a chance. Not a chance. Draymond doesn't do something. He's going to do a Mexican hat dance on somebody's ribs in this game. So I'll take that, and I'll take the Philadelphia 76ers over the Miami Heat. The Heat going to have to prove it to me this year. Last year, after like game three of that Milwaukee series, I was betting on the Miami Heat after every single game. Don't think that'll be happening this year. I'm taking the 76ers and Joel Embiid. I think he comes back, because this is a team that truly would not be in the position. I think if Embiid had stayed healthy the entire year, they would have been in the two spot behind Boston. Right. I think that, and especially when you look at the way he was playing before the season started. I mean, I'm sorry, before he got hurt. Obviously, he was playing well when the season started, because it's hard to play well before.
I mean, they only finished three games behind the Knicks, who are the two seed.
Yeah. I mean, and that's with missing the reigning MVP for the majority of the year. Right. I think Maxey is ready to take a step forward and be a more dependable player in the postseason. And Tobias Harris is on the team. I don't have much nice to say about him, but he is on the team. And neither does anybody in Philly unless they're eating crumble cookies. But I'll take the Warriors and the 76ers on the money line. That's a little two-day parlay. How about that? You have to wait a little while to get your money, but you can get it at plus 148.
Okay, I'm not mad at it. I mean, I agree with that as well. I picked the Sixers, so we're all in agreement here. So I can definitely wish you good luck this weekend and good faith.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'll just leave this with, let's go Magic. Let's go Magic.
We need to fly you down to Orlando for game three. You need to be courtside.
A place I haven't been since I was a child, but sign me up. I'm telling you, I'm rooting. I've never rooted harder for Paolo Banchero, Mo and Franz Wagner, Jalen Suggs. Oh, Jalen Suggs has Donovan Mitchell in a torture chamber. And you know what? JB Bickerstaff, I'm sorry, but RIP to your job, pal.
Well, next week, man, we'll have some playoff games to recap, because game ones would be in the books this time next week.
It'll be fun. I decided to watch the NBA matter.
Let's go. Let's get it.